This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Join now, Transpositions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and you are with Kurt, and I've got Megan co-hosting with me tonight. How are you, Megan?
Very good, Kurt. How are you tonight?
Very good, because we've got a very special guest joining us tonight.
We have indeed.
And we've got Michelle Shepherd joining us in the studio. How are you, Michelle?
Doing well, honey. How are you?
Excellent. I'm excited for tonight's show, being surrounded by two lovely ladies. And I've also got Chris on panel tonight, not to leave you out, Chris. Michelle, we're just going to be talking about your transition and your life here in Melbourne. So, looking forward to it.
Same.
We also got Paige Phoenix halfway through the show for you, and he's going to tell us how the ANSPATH went, the trans health conference in Adelaide, which was over the weekend.
We had a good conversation about that last week, sort of trying to find out what was going on with the conference. So, be really good to see what Paige says with the outcome of the conference.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and you're with Kurt and Megan and our guest Michelle.
Hello again.
Now, Michelle, it's quite obvious that you have an accent.
Definitely. I'm originally from the US and from St. Louis.
Excellent. And so when did you come to Melbourne?
Oh, I've been here for about 13 years now.
Awesome. So if you are listening and you are also transgender and you have come to Melbourne from somewhere out there, please send us any questions you have about formalities or even paperwork, Michelle, or just things about, you know, relocating and transitioning. Mm-hmm. You can SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Or you can actually also email us on air at joy.org.au. Or you can actually give us a call as well on 1300-JOY-949 and leave a message.
That's right. And Michelle is eager to answer your questions, and Megan and I could answer some questions too.
Bring them on.
Bring them on. We want the questions.
We do. So Michelle, I want to know where did you go when you first started questioning your gender?
Oh, God. When I first started questioning my gender, look, as most people I know who dealt with it, you've known about it for such a long time. I can remember back again, you know, the stereotypical, hey, when I was 4 years old, blah, blah, blah. I remember when I was 23 and started looking into it and thinking, no, I'm not gay, I'm not this, I'm not that, so what the hell's wrong with me, you know? Mm. And eventually when I decided to break down my divorce, or I was going through divorce, I was going through all kinds of stuff, and I said, look, I've been dealing with this for my whole life, and I need to get some help for it finally. And I called all kinds of lines. I didn't know where to go to begin with. I mean, I was calling things like Beyond Blue, I was calling different lifelines, I was doing the calling the Bellas. I was just trying to find something, and in the end I just got nowhere. I got directed back to the internet, and like you and I were talking before, I said, mm-hmm. You Google this kind of stuff on the internet and you come back some really raunchy images that you go, this isn't me. Mm. And so eventually I went to meet up and met some other people, and I actually met one person who took me under her wing, and I love her dearly for this since then. But she goes, no, look, here's what my meds were, here's what a plan I did, here's the research I did, take it, you're my mentor, you're my apprentice, There can only be two. And
a bit of a Star Wars reference there.
Well, she has a dark one, that one. So so then from there, she was like, okay, and then for you, go. And so why I saw it was, is most people who or go trans eventually go stealth after a while. And it's like that woman on The Matrix. She's the one in red, and everyone's walking by, and then she disappears. And they go into the woods or whatever, and I said, I need to grab them right before they disappear to say, what did you do? How did you do it? Help me. And that's how I got on this path.
Yeah, nice. I like that story. Because it's a little bit true, isn't it? Everyone who's just newly transitioning is quite, you know, here I am, I'm transitioning, I'm an activist. And then they sort of...
get into radio and those kinds of things.
Yeah, why not? and then it sort of becomes, I think they just want to be a person. They don't want to be a trans person anymore. Yeah, and blend in. And
oh, when you look at you, you're super stealth over here.
I try sometimes.
I think it's actually true for a lot of us, actually, because, you know, you sort of go through such a big questioning thing in your life as to who you are, and then you start to go through the process of transition and, yeah, okay, fine, I'm going through this, and you try to explore everything, and then it's just like you suddenly realize and say, you know what, at the end of the day, yeah, okay, this is good, but I still want to go back to being a person and just live a regular life as best as what you can. And I think that's quite true for a lot of us. And I think it's really about the whole discovery process as well, trying to figure out who the hell you are, because this is such a huge thing and you're trying to reestablish your entire identity again. And
yes,
where exactly do you land? Who exactly am I? You know, who is Megan, or who is Michelle, or who is Kurt? It's just like, who are we as actual individuals, and what is our identity? Yes, we used to be someone before in the past, and our past is still very important to us as to who we are and also what makes us who we are. And there's definitely parts of our past that we don't want to give away, but at the end of the day, we are still individuals and we still have a life to live, and we're still an identity that we need to be.
That's right. Michelle, how important was mentoring to you? Because I know that you said you couldn't find any information anywhere.
No. And then there was just said, I mean, I remember talking to even my psychiatrist as well. And he was saying that they even tried to go and put together some resources, and they were told to pull it down because it didn't go along with their university or their, I didn't want to go and give any names who they were all through. And so they were told to pull it down as well. And for me, it was like, look, you've been through this. You know what you're doing. I got, there's all these resources out here, and where do you start first?
There's nothing better than getting experience and getting stories from other people from where they've been. Michelle, I was saying to you before, the very first pamphlet I got handed about being transgender or gender questioning, basically I had a drag queen and a drag king on it. You know, a man in a dress and a woman with a beard. And I was like, that's not me. I did do drag kings, but that was stage. That was all for show. And, you know, so it was a really hard thing. You know, I didn't want to be just a drag king or a crossdresser or fetishized or something like that.
It came back to me as being a crossdresser as well. And I'd see photos of people just laying there in men and women's underwear, and they've got, well, semen in their pants, and I'm trying to be keeping this PC here. You know, this is really hard.
It's porn, basically.
It's porn. Yeah. And I'm just like, what do I do with this? This isn't me.
Yeah.
And I just nope, turn it off. Nope, go back to the gym. Cut my hair. Do what I got to do. I'm just, nope, that's not me. I'm going to go, nope, I'm doing this. Yeah.
You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And you are with Kurt and Megan and Michelle, our lovely guest. And now we were just talking about panties and semen.
All the
and things,
fun stuff.
So, yeah, all the fun stuff.
happy endings and worst
kinds of endings.
I think I kind of want to talk about dating now. Do you ladies think that's a nice topic?
It is. It's a fun topic at the moment.
Yeah. Well, it's like you're talking about those fun things. Like, of course, we have to go to dating. And
that's right.
Yeah. So I suppose looking at it from our perspective, for you, the whole dating experience and those kinds of things, what's that been like for you, and how do you approach dating and everything else like being trans?
One of the things I always joke about is you go from, look, I was married for 13 years, and before that I was married for about 3 to 4 years, and so really technically the last time I really dated was the 90s. Okay. And so you're talking back home in St. Louis, you got diners, you've got putt-putt, you've got, back in the 90s, there was like two coffees. There was caffeinated and decaffeinated. Okay, you had, I'd go out and we'd go do putt-putt. We'd go and have maybe
putt-putt's like mini golf.
Yeah. Okay. And so then from there, you'd go and do, just spend some time at a diner and do whatever. Now you go online, you got to go and meet somebody and have a photo of your genitals pretty much on your shirt to identify who they were. You have 10 freaking coffees and it's a mocha choca frappa choppa that actually saves the damn tree frogs. Then you've got a cafe you got to find on platform 93 quarters in a laneway that doesn't freaking exist. You choose a damn muffin that is linseed soy chai gluten free that you then have to have a hobby out of National freaking Geographic that's underwater basket weaving at the top of Nepal. Like, seriously, can I just go for a coffee? I just want a coffee. I just want to go for a walk and just be treated like a lady. It's just, I mean, come on. And then, and then you've got the negative side on this stuff. You know, I've had people who've gone and said, hey, you know, I'm looking for a normal woman. I'm looking for a normal person. I want, people like you should be put to death at sleep or at birth. There's people like you who should be. I hope you get your genitals cut off.
Yeah, and that's actually really pretty bad when you think about sort of transphobia and those kinds of things. Because at the end of the day, all of us really, we're all human beings, you know, and we just want to be treated like human beings. So when someone actually turns around and says those kinds of things, and irrespective of as to who they are, it's quite degrading and demeaning to all of us as individuals.
Well, I mean, try to think of someplace safe to go to. I mean, we were talking before about, you know, you go to a bar. And some of the bars you go to, yes, they're a gay bar. And then they've got people there who are cross-dressers. And you got some trans there as well. But I'm not there for sex. I'm there, hey, I'm having a good time. I'm here to dance. I'm here to go and meet, you know, I'm not saying meet somebody. But if I do, then that's great. Mm.
But do you find that when you go to some of those types of venues, so someone that you meet is there for an ulterior kind of motive?
Of course.
So the dating experience that you get is that instead of like being a proper date where you get to form a relationship with someone, it's really you're actually their fantasy or fetish or something of that nature.
Remember the first night we met at DT's?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, your first night out.
Yes, no, okay.
Then so I met that gentleman that came up to me. He was drunk. Mm. And he goes, so let's cut to the chase. Are we going to, you know, get to whatever? And I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. Like, he goes, oh, you're drinking.
What's your name?
Where are you from? Yeah. So you're going to be a bitch or are we going to cut to the chase? And I'm going, honey, I'm just here with your friend. Who are you, what?
Do you get any other choice? Bitch or cut to the chase?
Exactly.
So he wanted to take you out the back and...
He clearly wanted to. Look, I mean, and the right person come along, that's one thing. But don't, you know, don't just assume I'm there because I'm like this other one who's got a maid's skirt on. You can see her agates hanging out. She's sitting on people's lap. I'm not here like her. I'm here to go and actually have a good time, have a dance and whatever.
And respect yourself.
Exactly.
You were both saying before that it's different being on estrogen now because it's not all about sex and men want sex and apparently women don't.
Look, the way I described it before, and Robin Williams said it best, that on testosterone, you pretty much want to either F it or kill it. And that's pretty much it. When it's like, just touch it. Where now, it's like, I wake up in the morning, you know, and it's like, oh, maybe I'm in the mood. No, oh, wait a minute, I didn't wear those new shoes I bought. It's not exactly on my priority, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that's, it's like, you really enjoy it. It's great when it happens and everything else, but it's not the key driver in life. There's so many other things in life, and the whole experience of intimacy with someone is so totally different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. And is it hard to know whether to go for someone who identifies as straight or lesbian? Like, how do you know what people want? I mean, we were saying before that the fetish thing happens, and that's really hard because you don't know when it's genuine or when
exactly.
It's about sex.
And for like, even when you're talking things like surgery, people go, okay, you're interested in women, you're interested in men, are you going to have the surgery? And I'm going, well, I think in my case, if a lot of men know that I'm trans, I mean, come on, I'm 6'3", for Christ's sake. Like, you know, I'm not really exactly going to blend in the crowd. But the thing is most men are probably going to expect me to have it. And if I'm with a woman, well, of course, that obviously makes sense to kind of have that as well, if the woman's interested in that. But for me, I just said, look, I'm looking for a person. I want a person who is confident in who they are and what they want sexually and kind of where they're going. Look, we're all aimlessly wandering around anyway. There's no manual to this whole thing. We don't get out alive. So you just need to, you know, I just want to find some, like I said, I just want to find somebody who's just a nice person who, hey, treat me like a lady, you know, whatever happened to being just a gentleman or just being nice.
Yeah.
It's like the whole surgery, sort of lower surgery, is such a personal decision anyway, and something that you really do for yourself. And you know, what your partner wants is, I suppose, is considered
relevant. But
it is definitely relevant, but at the end of the day, this is how you feel about your own body itself. It's called gender dysphoria, and that's one of the key elements of, well, at birth sex. And it's like, well, do I really identify with that? And at the end of the day, Michelle, you know, it's like for all of us who are MTF, we have to really think about that. And also FTM as well, you know, what sort of procedures that you want to sort of consider as well. So these are all really important considerations that as individuals we really have to think. And then, you know, then also think about relationships as well.
It's everyone's individual. You know, everyone, some people are ready to get rid of it, some people, you know. But, you know, it comes down to just, you know, I guess I've discovered, you know, I've been in different scenes. I've come from being bisexual. I've been in the swinger scene. I've been in different areas. Mm. And I've run across so many people over the years who, there are women who are so interested in other women. And they create these fake profiles and they have these fantasies they go through, but their husbands know nothing about it. And they're talking to me about it. And I'm going, well, why doesn't your husband know? And I'm like, well, they're like, well, he just wouldn't know. He just wouldn't accept it. And I'm thinking, why are you in this relationship then? This is obviously a huge key thing for you. Why are you not in there? Like, tell him. And but no, they decide they don't want to do that. And they just have this fantasy and they live secretly. And I'm like, seriously, all my cards are on the table. Like, you can see if I've got a full deck or not here. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that's sort of part of the lying to themselves. You know, keeping the husband is that part of denial. Mm. And if sort of, you know, the lesbian relationships don't work out, I've got the safety of my heterosexual relationship.
Nice. But it's also maybe that I'm not actually questioning whether they're actually bi, whether they're sort of, you know, identify with or attracted to both sexes. Mm. So.
Yeah,
it's an interesting one to explore.
It is, yeah. Now, talking about surgeries, I want to talk a little bit about hormones. Because obviously, so I'm FTM, female to male, any first-time listeners. It's estrogen's a lot different to testosterone. And you were telling me before about the emotions.
Oh, God.
this is probably quite a long answer, so we might save it for a little bit later.
Yeah, no worries.
You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. Now, Michelle, I asked you a bit of a hard question, or a full-on question, I guess, about estrogen and emotions.
Oh, yes.
So I'm looking at both of you here, Megan.
Oh, my God.
So we get Megan a tissue.
We don't have any tissues in here.
Here's my sleeve.
All right. I'm going to start crying now.
No, look, I went from me when, as years were going by, being just no estrogen, you know, my normal testosterone coming through and things like that. I felt that as the years were going by, I was losing connection with my emotion, my femininity, and I'd get harder. And it got to a point where I wouldn't even, couldn't even hug my kids, or I just was like, you know, get off me. And I just want to put my fist through a wall. And I just felt so disconnected, and I didn't quite understand what was going on. And I just more and more frustrated. But so as I started going into estrogen, next thing you know, I've got two songs playing on the radio that I'm sitting there going, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't she love me anymore? Or I'm walking down the aisle with my girlfriend at Woolies, and I want to grab a jar of pickles off the shelf, and I'm going to smash them on the ground, and I just want to start crying. And she goes, oh, it's okay, honey. That happens once a month.
Yep.
And I'm going, I'm like, this isn't real. This can't be happening. And my doctor goes, yeah, well, yeah, that can happen.
It does happen.
Yeah. And I'm such a savory person, and I had such a craving for, you know, things like chocolate and just the emotions. Or even now, my children come up to me and they're like, Daddy, you know, you hug us so much more. You and they just love cuddling me and we're just, yeah.
Are you a lot more maternal?
Oh my God, my friends immediately go and say, "Oh, you're such a mom. You should be celebrating on Mother's Day." I'm teaching my daughters how to do makeup. I'm teaching them to cook. I'm teaching them all kinds of different things. And I love watching my daughter try and put makeup on, and she sits there and she's doing her eyeshadow, and I'm just standing there, it's my baby. It's like, Hercules, it's my baby.
And so, because of the emotions and those kinds of things, you can start tearing up about
it. Exactly.
Baby.
Yeah,
thank you.
So it's interesting that you said you're sort of into the sweet foods and going for chocolate.
Yeah.
Did your tastes change?
Oh yeah, look, I'm still so savory, and I have moments now where I'm just emotionally eating, going, I just, why don't you love me? So, but it just, yeah, and I'll grab I never used to be able to grab like a whole block of chocolate and just go down it because I just in this mode of my friend who runs the business I work for, she came over to my house one day and she had this whole block. She goes, "Come on, honey, just sit down. We're painting each other's nails." I'm like, I just need chocolate. Yeah.
And so you mentioned your friend who you work for. Is that with Garden Girls?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah.
And now Garden Girls, so you're just women who come over and do people's gardens.
Yeah, no, it's not so much. Well, it's not like a gym's mowing. We don't come in and just do mowing and you know, hedging. We actually come in and they're horticulturists and they'll come in and we'll take a look at the health of your plants. We'll say, "Hey, you got the wrong plants planted. You didn't plant them right. Here, we're going to do some mulching. We're going to go and do some landscaping." It's just... We have, like right now I'm helping getting ready to build a Zen garden at one house. You know, it's just so much, yeah, so much more than just gardening. Look, and for me it was hard because I came from an IT background of 20 years. And last job I was working for, their department was a forensics department and doing, whistleblowing. And I trying to watch what I'm saying here, but. Like, I remember one time I was getting calls about somebody in the workplace and they were talking about, they were trying to slit their wrists in the workplace. Mm. And I was going through, I started thinking about transition. I started thinking about, this is getting too far away from my core career of IT. This is getting this. I can't handle this. Somebody's telling me they want to kill themselves. Mm. I'm in this bad place. And it was an environment that really wasn't exactly the most positive for gay. And they said, "Oh yeah, we're definitely, you know, equal opportunity, whatever." Mm. But when you were in there, it just really didn't feel that way. Mm. And I decided to make a change during my transition and started going into a salon. And of all places, I got told that, it'll be okay if people think you're gay now, but they won't accept you as trans. And luckily, she was my friend of 13 years, or else, you know, that was just completely off. And so... Luckily, my friends had this business and they said, "It's about women. It's Garden Girl. It's you know, hey, you're a trans woman. The only requirement we have of you is to be as feminine as possible and just be a woman." Mm. And they've accepted me from day one.
Mm, that's fantastic. Mm. Because Megan, you just last week, you told us about your transitioning at work story.
Mm, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was all very interesting. And it's so hard juggling a career and transitioning at the same time.
But yeah, now because I'm not in that same area, I've tried going in for jobs and I get recruiters on the phone and look, I've got nails. I've got nail polish. I can't go and just strip it all off. I've actually thought about detransitioning just to put on a suit, just to go get a damn job.
Yeah. Do you feel it like if you have to detransition for a job that you're really robbing yourself your very own identity and really trying to get back into that closet again?
Exactly. I'm not being true to myself and I want to be true to myself. Mm. You know, I know who I am. I know what I'm good at. Mm. And the problem is as soon as the recruiters get me on the phone, they're like, "Hey, awesome. Okay. You're trans. All right. Well, look, we'll get your resume. It's on file. We'll contact you if you hear anything that your criteria." And I'm going, "Yeah, thanks. I assumed as much."
Yeah. Never hear from you again.
It's also interesting to sort of think about, you know, what we spoke about last week with the Victorian Equal Opportunities Commission and Human Rights Commission in terms of protections that there are for transgender people in terms of applying for jobs and whatnot, that you can't be discriminated against for being trans. You know, in one sense, it's easy to say that on paper. But when you're actually placed in the real world, sometimes it can be quite hard and you sort of really are placed in, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, unfortunately, look, and, you know, that's probably the one place, you know, I mean, I've got a pretty wicked sense of humor, but unfortunately, this is probably the one.
I think we've discovered that tonight.
I think that's probably the one place I've been cynical is when it comes to the workplace is that when you're in the corporation, they can't discriminate against you, but trying to get back in, there's nothing on paper, no way to prove that they're discriminated against you to get the job.
Mm.
So it's like, well, okay, thanks for that.
Yeah, yeah, it's a real tough one.
It is, definitely.
But I'm so glad that you've got Garden Girls. Cause
I
that's,
am too.
It's fantastic.
Oh, it's great. And my friend, she's actually a cis woman.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, born as women, a woman. And happy being women, yeah. Mm-hmm. The politically correct way of saying it. And she's 6'3" as well.
Nice.
And so we actually go in each other's closet. We actually go and share shoes. We share whatever.
Yeah.
And we just walk around getting lattes and whatever. And we just, nobody bats an eye.
Act like sisters.
We do. Yeah. Actually, as if we're sisters sometimes. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
I think you two could actually pass as sisters.
Probably.
So, yeah.
You are listening to Kurt, Megan and Michelle on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And on the phone, we have got Paige Phoenix. How are you, Paige?
Doing really well, Kurt. How are you?
Lovely. It's nice to hear your voice, Paige.
Nice to hear yours too, buddy.
Now, you went to the ANSPATH Trans Health Conference in Adelaide over the weekend.
I did.
So we're just interested to hear how it went.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was really fantastic. The speakers were great. The attendants were amazing. I think there was close to 200 people that came along. Really amazing mix of gender diverse people, clinicians, allies, all coming together to talk about trans issues and strengthen the community. And it definitely did that. It was amazing.
That sounds awesome. 200 people.
That's actually a really good outcome. That's a lot of people.
It is, yeah.
Wow.
So, Paige, what do you think some of the outcomes of the conference will be?
I think that that bringing the trans community together with clinicians means that they're going to be in a much better position to be able to provide services to gender diverse people, having actually heard our voices firsthand. And getting the gender diverse community together, it was amazing for us just to be able to connect and strengthen our connections with each other as well. I think those two would probably be the two of the greater outcomes of the conference.
I suppose some of the things I hear, actually, Paige, from speaking to different people, is really access to clinicians and being able to have access to gender psychiatrists or psychologists and those kinds of things. So was there anything sort of further said about that in terms of easier access to psychological and mental services for trans people?
Better access to services. Oh, matey, that's such a complex area, and it really depends on sort of where you're talking about and what part of it, of the demographic you're talking about as well. So access to services for youth, for example, we're looking at starting to break down some of the barriers to access to hormone blockers, for example, for young kids that are identifying as trans. All of that stuff is starting to move forward, and you know, getting the individuals that are impacted by lack of access to services in the room to actually say, okay, this is where we're at and this is what we can't get a hold of, means that people can go away and start to work on that stuff and make it easier for people to get better access. So
that's like a really good outcome. That's actually really important for people. There's also other things such as surgery and all those different types of things. Was there any sort of talk about those kinds of things for both FTEMs and M2Fs?
There were some specific the sessions that were held on surgical stuff. To be totally honest with you, I didn't sit in on those ones because I was off preparing for the cabaret.
And that's an important question, actually, Paige. How was the cabaret?
It was awesome.
There are priorities.
We had such a good time. Like, it was just great. We had a local musician, Linda, who joined the stage with Coco and Finn and I, my baby piece Coco and I did a duet of Don't Give Up, the Peter Gabriel song. I don't think that there was a dry eye in the house.
I think we're actually starting to tear up in here, actually.
The trans women are.
We're talking about emotions before.
It was great, and it wasn't just all the estrogen in the room.
Oh, thank you so much, Paige, for telling us about it. I'm glad it was a success.
Definitely. Look, and there's lots of really amazing stuff to, you know, to come away and feel inspired about. And just to give a shout out to Adelaide, you know, what an amazing town. Like, I've never actually spent time there before, but I'm gagging to get back there now. I think for Tidor, I'm going to try and get back over there. There's lots of really amazing stuff that they're doing. The Safe Schools Coalition, Natalia Gifney, you know, creating a fantastic climate for gender diverse people in Adelaide. And I think the community there has a much better sense, not just of the community that they have there, but of their connectedness to the rest of us in the other states as well. So, yeah, go Adelaide.
Go Adelaide. Adelaide's where it's at.
Awesome.
Right. Excellent. Thank you, Paige, for talking to us tonight. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Hope so. Take care, Kurt.
Take care, Paige. Bye.
Thanks, Paige.
See ya.
You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and that was Paige Phoenix telling us all about the ANZPATH Trans Health Conference.
Yeah, well, that actually sounded really good. That conference, really, I think it has like a really good outcome for the trans community, and hopefully something sort of really positive comes out for it. So,
fantastic. Well, it was like you were saying before, Michelle, about how when you were questioning your gender, you didn't know where to go, and you sort of said that there weren't many counsellors or psychiatrists or anyone around.
I actually ended up actually contacting somebody who I went through a lot of the different ads on, I think it was either the Bella or one of those, and they actually had counseling services on there, and I went and chose this person out of the blue who had been dealing in what her area for like 20 years. Right. And the reason I chose her was because of her years of experience and who she was. I didn't even know she even still did trans related stuff, but right. I went to her as my sort of first piece. There's all these different sites. I went and contacted the number. I left a message. I did, again, all the different phone services. I called them, like, we really don't deal with that. Maybe just go on the web and start Googling. And I'm going, you're not helping me.
That's sort of, it's hard to just go on the web and start Googling, because I know that when I came out to my parents, they did that. And that's what helped them make the decision that they didn't understand what trans was. Who knows what they were looking at.
I know.
Because my dad was calling it a sex change. And you can't type sex into Google without getting horrific things.
Like I already told you earlier about, panties.
Yeah.
I think I'm still scarred from that one.
just a thought, we're all scarred.
So it's really important that we've got access to professionals who are educated in gender diversity so that we can get that help and know where to go.
Even now, even though I'm further along, I personally, you know, would love to hear more about what Paige saw from that or what other people have taken from that, because, you know, the better resources we have and the less problems we have with suicides and everything out there.
I was actually talking to one of my counselors at the moment. They're even trying to do things at the moment with having more psychologists able to sort of work with gender diverse clients and actually trying to alleviate some of the workloads and caseloads that the psychiatrists or the gender psychiatrists have got here. So, you know, whatever can be done in that space to sort of really have patients or have clients access the right resources.
I got onto mine. I went and saw the psychiatrist, I think it was, and she went and saw me for a few sessions, but she goes, well, look, I can't actually give you, I can give you a diagnosis, but I can't give you the next step.
Yeah.
And I went and talked to the psychologist, and then they're like, okay, well, you can't get in for another 11 weeks. And I'm going, you're kidding me. Like, how can this be possible? But then they said, oh, but if you're paying it privately out of your own pocket, we can probably get you in 2 weeks. No. And I go, no, wait a minute. That's not fair. You know, like, we've got stuff put place in here in Australia to go and help people and you know, Medicare, everything. But, oh, well, if you're going to pay for it, then, hey, we'll
get put you at the top of the queue.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And so there should be more resources, more doctors who can help with these, help take the workload.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because I think probably one of the things we start to see now is lots and lots of people really starting to come out now and being trans, because it's suddenly become a lot more easier to really start to talk about it.
Well, I think there was a study recently as well where they said that in the past, was it the past year, there was like triple the number of patients that came in for trans-related instances compared to like the last 10 years or 6 years or something like that. And so clearly That's a huge call that says, hey,
there's a trend.
There's a trend.
Is it a trend?
Yeah.
Is it like tattoos where
everybody's going trans?
I did read that it is 1% of people regret transitioning. Mm-hmm. So that's a very small number. Mm. And, you know, when you're questioning your gender, you could be questioning other things about you and thinking that it's your gender you're questioning. Mm. You know, there's so many...
There's
different parts of yourself to go through to realize that it's gender that's wrong and that you need to, you know, treat.
And for me, even like way back when I was still going through it, you know, I was like 23 and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm wanting to be a woman, but I should be interested in men if that's the case. So I was even had my own misconceptions on what I should have been. Mm. And so I struggled with those ideas. Mm. And then finally, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, I said, then all of a sudden when I finally get my head around that I'm trans and then this is what it is, all of a sudden there's new categories of they.
Yeah.
And the people who have no gender, and I'm going, well, shit. Yeah. This is getting crazier.
Well, do you think it actually took you like a long time to actually start to figure out, well, yeah, actually, I am trans. This is, let me start to accept who I am and start to figure it out.
Yeah, it did. It was a big acceptance because, I mean, let's face it, I'm 37 years old. I'm a parent of two. Mm. I'm married. I wanted a 2.5. 2.5 picket fence, you know, like...
All right. I wondered what that was.
You know, the stereotypical whatever. I wanted the normal. I didn't have the most ideal life growing up. And so I wanted to have some normality. I wanted to have... And then I blew that out of the water. And and now, you know, like I said, I can find the humor in all of it. And you know, I said, what's funnier than a 37-year-old man with 14-year-old tits? Like, I just can find the humor in pretty much everything. And you know, it sounds like I'm making fun of everything, but you know, like I said, you got to have humor. You have to find some ways to find the funny side of things, no matter how different it is. And
that's right. You just got to have a laugh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. But we are sadly wrapping up because the hour is nearly finished. But Michelle, I just wanted to say that before you were telling us that, you know, your kids are really supportive of you and you've got a cute little loving little threesome going on there with your two kids, and it's really fantastic to hear.
Not just me, my two daughters, 8 and 5, and, you know, I'm still daddy. Like I said, you know, I earn daddy. That's my thing. And their mommy is their mommy. And she's there to nurture them. And I'm there to protect their heart. Mm. That's my role as a father or daddy. Yeah. And so, and so I've been very lucky in that sense. And even my ex she's come around. She's very supportive. She does my nails and my hair. And, and I sat and had a beer with her new boyfriend watching the NRL. It's quite interesting. you know, and luckily I've got some amazing friends who've just been there to help support. And like I said, friends of mine who run their business to Garden Girl that are just, you know, open to women and women like me.
Yeah, any type of women.
That's right.
Mums, trans women.
Exactly.
Women. Yep. Good.
Megan, it's been a pleasure having you co-hosting tonight.
Thank you. It's been great.
That's awesome. And Michelle, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. We will have to have you back.
Oh, I'd love to come back.
I think there's like so much more can be talked about. I'd love to talk about like social media and those types of things. Oh my God. It's something which we haven't even touched on yet at all. So
Just let me know and I'll be back.
Excellent. Right. And if you are looking for podcasts from previous shows or from tonight's show, it should be up within a few days. Thanks to Andrea, our little podcaster who works very hard. And thank you tonight to Chris on the panel. And thank you, SJ, for your voiceover for our intro. Jump on the Joy website for the podcasts, joy.org.au. And if you have any questions throughout the week, please do send them to transpositions@joy.org.au. We will speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
On Joy 94.9.
Listening to Transpositions. We love your feedback, and if you want to share your own story, email us during the week, transpositions@joy.org.au, or contact us via social media. You'll find all the links at joy.org.au/transpositions. Thank you for listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.